Hello, everyone, to Alphabet Scoop 104. It is still November, and we are going to jump right in this week to talk about Stadia first. So they kicked off the week. Was it the weekend? I think it was the very start of this week, where YouTube premium subscribers in the UK and right in the US can claim a free Stadia Premier Edition bundle, which is normally $99 and includes the Stadia controller and the Chromecast Ultra. And in terms of YouTube doing like giveaways to subscribers, there was the Nest Home Minis for $49, but this is just double that. And this is a pretty significant giveaway, frankly.
Well, I don't know necessarily if giveaway is the right word for it. This is more of an outreach campaign than it is a giveaway. I mean, for the folks who are already interested in Stadia, absolutely, this is a giveaway. And if you're in the United States, you should have taken advantage of it while you had the chance. But for everybody else, this was an outreach campaign because one of the steps along the way to claiming this was signing up for a Stadia Pro free trial if you hadn't already done so.
Really interesting. Was this before or after they started pushing it into the main YouTube app? Because in the past 24 hours, I would say. Okay, so the TikTok of this is people notice the URL, a special URL, and then that URL started going live, and people started redeeming it immediately. But in the past 24 hours, there's been a promo screen in the main YouTube app saying that you can claim this free thing. And that actually ties into the past few hours in the US, where the Google Stadia account is telling people that it's done, that they're out of stock.
Right. It's only out of stock in the United States, though, so as far as we've confirmed. So far as I have heard, it's still going to go live in, I want to say Canada, like in a couple of other countries, it's going to go live next week. But they ran out of the U.S. stock. But yeah, from the get-go, from the start, to be able to sign or to be able to claim this promotion, you also needed to sign up for a Stadia Pro. Like, that was part of the redemption process. It checked whether you have ever had a Stadia Pro free trial.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, as you were saying earlier, it's running out for people. I guess two things I'm most curious about is, one, why are they doing this? And I think that can diverge into two answers for reaching out to new people, and two, as a kind of way to reward existing users, because as far as we can tell, all three of us were we bought the Founders Edition, and we were still able to redeem the Premier Edition. So this is really this dual track of sorts of who's getting in, people who are expanding their setups, and actually new people.
Yeah, that seems to be the two. Yeah, rewarding the people who like Stadia. Hey, you know, thanks for trying it out. Here's a little bit bonus for also being a YouTube Premium member. But it definitely seems more so about outreach and just coincidentally rewarding their existing player base.
And coincidentally falling on Tuesday, which was Xbox launch day, and today, which is the PS5. So yeah, it's... The way I see it, this definitely happened in the same week, purposefully, with those 100%. Two other console launches. Because the other thing to consider is that it's very hard to get those consoles right now terms of just it's being sold out all the time. It's sold out, pre-orders are done, et cetera, et cetera. And Google is, I guess, maybe their pitch here with these free bundles to premium members is that for those who are missing out on the next gen consoles because they simply can't purchase it for whatever reason, that here's an alternative, and maybe that's a good hook.
Absolutely. Like it's a strong outreach. The one thing that's really important to me is that the shipping is super fast for these. Like people who claimed these on Tuesday have them by now for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a, you know, lickety split rather than, like you said, people being unable to claim consoles for the moment, or unable to purchase consoles for the moment because they're just out of stock.
Mm. And the second big question there, I'd say, is how many do we think they sold? How many did they set aside to give away? My number is between 50,000 and 100,000. And of that, one can only assume that a fraction is actually going to stick with the service. So I'm not sure how much they want to grow the subscriber base by.
All I know is that however many they gave away is not enough. They did run out and people did still want them.
Yeah, like again, in terms of the rollout of this happening early and people finding the URL early, mm-hmm. It's really, in a way, benefiting the fans who are getting an extra controller and a spare Chromecast. In a way that's a bit unideal. So, yeah.
I mean, it should breed some loyalty at the very least, though. And there are a lot of people who may not necessarily want to purchase a Stadia controller because they don't believe the benefits that Google has touted for it. When I can say with no uncertainty that, you know, the Stadia controller is worth it. But there are people who would have kind of doubts about that. And the mm-hmm. Premier Edition is a great way to promote that.
Yeah. So it's, again, it's just such a notable thing. It's, I don't know, this is, well, these people are already paying for YouTube every month, YouTube Premium every month. But this is, again, it's, I don't know, this seems like an early Google move, like as a company compared to the recent years. This is them really trying to grow. And it would be curious to see how that directly impacts the play account. Has that improved much in recent months?
I would say so. I mean, it could just be that I've received more friend requests of late, but it's hard for me to log into Stadia in the past couple of weeks and not see 25, 35 people online at a time. Mm. Just in my personal friends list.
Yeah, that's so, yeah, it's, again, hopefully this will, especially, it's all about the holiday season at this point. It's making a good impression, making sure people who join are getting a large, that they can do multiplayer and that kind of stuff. It's really, it's an interesting move. I would really love to know how many subscribers have actually been added with this push.
Yeah, I mean, another part of it, though, I think is maybe they're just dumping Chromecast Ultras because, I mean, they are from 2016. You know, it's crazy to think it's that old, but it is four-year-old hardware by this point.
So to add to that, if you go on the Google Store and buy one yourself right now, it's still available. So they definitely didn't run out the stock of...
No.
But again, I am just curious that number because... I don't know. I think they really hit, at least from the social media reaction, they're really hitting a people who see this offer and aren't able to get it anymore because of how the timing worked of the push of the inadvertent URL reveal. So that's going to be a whole thing, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it is. It is a shame how quickly the offer ran out. But I think that kind of gets people excited. Maybe they'll think about buying the bundle where they wouldn't have before. Maybe they'll drive some awareness too.
So from that whole push, again, this honestly seemed unexpected. I didn't think they would do something as extreme as this. Like, I don't know, it's just surprising, really. And that this is like a give, again, this is like a giveaway of when Google was younger as a company. It felt like they did this more often. But now this is a to boost the service, however, much. So yeah, besides that big push, there's a trio, a quadruple, that's not the right word, of features that just came out in the past few days.
A quartet.
Yes, thank you, a quartet.
Yeah, all ahead of the anniversary, but nothing specifically tied to it.
Which I guess we should dive right in with those player profiles.
Go ahead, Ben. You take this one.
So player profiles, you know, Steam and everything else, they have an option to see, you know, if you have a friend, you can see what games they play, who their friends are, all that kind of stuff. And now you can see that on Stadia too. It's not super detailed. It's very basic, but it works. And it's a good thing to have. And then also you can share your profile link now, which is a nice touch. It's one of those things that's just, you know, it should have been there from the start, but now it's here and that's good.
Yeah, definitely.
That's really all there is to say about it. It has profile pages now.
I'm sure we'll be saving a broader discussion about what features they should have had on day one next week. But until then, voice chat, an improvement to that.
Yeah. So what we found, we'd spotted this earlier, like last month. But Google is working to put voice chat into their captures. Which means if you're talking, your party, just to be really clear, your party chat, when you're specifically in a Stadia party, that chat is private. But if you're in-game chatting, like if you're in a lobby in Destiny and you're talking with somebody there, that can now be included in your video clips, which I think is interesting. I don't know any other system that does that. I don't think the PlayStation or the Xbox do that. So it's kind of interesting to me. I don't know. Yeah. Ben, do you know if they include voice in recordings like that?
I genuinely could not tell you.
Okay.
Yeah, which speaks to like, why is this a feature?
I think it's just another one of those things, you know, it's useful that it's here.
But yeah.
Is it? Not everyone's going to use it. It could, I guess, for maybe for like, I don't know. Maybe it's a good thing for like streamers or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe you get like a clip of something you're like, you know, you catch, maybe you kind of catch that like the innocence of the moment where you do something really cool and you're like, oh, maybe you get to record that. That's all I can think of though.
Yeah.
It'd be fun just to record moments with friends and stuff.
Which set moments, which you can now finally share without having to take a manual screenshot of your phone or downloading it from the desktop client.
Yes, that's really important that you can do that now. For another feature that we found that's on the way, which is that they're planning to connect state share to captures like that. So you could send somebody a link to a clip and they could theoretically jump into the game, into that moment, and maybe relive it, theoretically.
Yeah.
In reality, it's going to be more like, here's a cool video clip of a game I made in Krayta, and then you can click a link in the video and jump into that Krayta game.
Hmm. Yeah, and rounding out the last one, which is just falling out as of hours ago, is a messaging service. A messaging chat, more simply, which again, one of those day one things seemingly, but adds to the cornucopia of Google's chatting services.
I can't wait to get hands on with it. Hasn't rolled out to me yet. I even tried to trick it to enable and it still didn't work.
And I guess rounding out the Stadia news is there were some pretty major launch titles, basically something like Assassin's Creed Valhalla, earlier this week, in terms of being able to play something brand new without downloading gigs and gigs or waiting for a disc to come in the mail if you pre-ordered. It's one of these benefits that, again, is unique to Stadia. And I guess the real test of that will be next month with Cyberpunk. Oh, when is Cyberpunk?
It is next month. December 10th.
Oh, yeah.
10th?
Yes.
10th. That sounds right.
Yeah, so that's basically the most of our state discussion until next week, which we will reserve our broader one-year discussion for. But moving on to other stuff is Google Photos, really surprisingly, this Wednesday made the announcement that it's ending unlimited free backup in what Google calls high quality, which is basically anything over 16 megapixels gets compressed down to 16, and anything over 1080p video, the same happens to that. So the reason they cited the framing was really interesting, and I think it got lost in the initial shock and awe, I would say, of the announcement of people having to pay for beyond 15 gigs of storage. Is that given the growing demand for storage, which is their quote, that they need to reorient the service, they need to have people start paying for storage in order to be able to keep offering it for free, that free 15 gigs for people. And they have this interesting stat about how most people will take, what, 3 years to reach 80% of their Google Photo storage. But I think we should jump right in. How is this going to affect, like, the Google Photos is a hit. Everybody knows it's encouraged for you to, even for iOS users, it's encouraged to just download the app and just back up immediately your iOS photos. But right now, do we think that changes that recommendation of downloading Google Photos is a no-brainer?
Yeah, I would say so. It's still the best photo service. Like, it just is. It gets everything right. I think the only thing this really changes is, you know, now there's a cap, and eventually you're going to have to pay for it, which people didn't think they would. Even though, realistically speaking, most people are not hitting any of the caps. Like, they might have passed the 15 gig, but they're not. Most people are probably not using 100, 200 terabyte, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the whole, you know, it's like the opposite of what carriers are doing. Carriers said, okay, we're doing it with data caps. It's unlimited, but it's not actually unlimited. Mm-hmm. And now Google's saying, okay, we can't say unlimited anymore. I don't know. I think it's a kind of a gut reaction to be annoyed by it, but I think in the long run, it'll be completely fine.
Yeah. And Kyle, what were you thinking?
Well, I think that, personally, I'm not as affected by it just because I, like the rest of us here at 9to5 Google, have a Pixel, and it just doesn't affect me very much. And the difference to me between a full quality and a high quality photo doesn't really register for me. Like, I haven't needed an original quality photo for anything in a very long time. So people are used to seeing JPEGs on social media. So I guess, I don't know. Like, I'm not a photography type of person. Like, I don't take 1,000 photos. Even though I have the Pixel, I don't think I would reach this limit in any reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, that's fair. And again, like, to the average person, the casual photographer, I think this is a total non-story, but
yeah,
I don't know, the broader shift towards getting people to pay stuff for stuff that's on the internet and assumed to be free is like this. Google started the trend, really. They, like, with Gmail, when that launched, they in 2004 or something, they gave an unprecedented one gig of storage for your email. Everybody thought it was a joke, and they were able to continue that into what's now 15 gigs. But this idea that that's no longer sustainable for a company, even like Google, to manage this much data is, I don't know, an end of an era, really, in terms of the idea of a free service. And yeah, it's really just surprising that
I think it kind of speaks to a broader shift in Google, though, because like like you're saying, you know, the shift away from free where it was a joke. Like YouTube Music is, you know, versus Google Play Music. Google Play Music was like, generally speaking, free up to a point. And here YouTube Music is kind of not complicated, but whatever. I feel like it's okay. You know, there are a lot of people that are kind of just unsettled by the way that Google is able to offer things for free. So yeah. I feel like people should just be a little more comfortable with the fact that they're paying for it now.
Yeah, which is completely lost, I would say, on the big critics of this move, that it was a bait and switch. That this new pricing model is that. But Google really is doing what, I don't know, I would say privacy advocates want, well, privacy, quote unquote, want them to do in terms of having people pay for stuff. And it's inevitable, it's absolutely inevitable that this is the model moving forward for everybody and everything. But at the same time, I don't think anybody saw this change coming whatsoever. So yeah, in terms of data, of the backup quality, so Google is going to, moving forward, they're going to keep both high quality and original quality. And you, Kyle, earlier you were making the point about how most people can't tell the difference, which is true. But I keep thinking of this idea that, I don't know, as screens get better, as we move to new, I don't know, holographic form factors or whatever crazy thing is coming down the road, I can't help but think that the absolute highest quality should be made available to people.
I mean, that's true, and that's why you do have the option at the very least. But I think, I don't know, I think of when we had, like, I don't know, in the mid-2000s, we had these super high megapixel digital cameras that everybody owned and carried around and dropped and broke and blah, blah, blah. When people had all those, if you go back and zoom in on a full quality photo from one of those cameras, it looks like garbage.
Absolutely.
I imagine that by that point, it'll be the same thing, that it by the time we're talking about the technology that you're talking about, looking back at the photos that we have here zoomed in is going to look like garbage, and you're probably just be happier with the high quality rather than the full quality version.
Interesting. Yeah. Just to round out a bit of the other storage changes Google's making. So this isn't just photos. Oh, yeah. In something that's surprising to everyone, Google Docs, Sheets, and Slides, and similar services, they do not, at the moment, they do not count against your storage limit. And I checked earlier, all my Google Docs and the kilobytes, but Google is now having those files count against your storage limit, which is a bit of an interesting move. What's excluded though right now is Google Keep. So I don't know if you want to be a, if you want to get around that, upload your photos to Google Keep, I don't know. I don't know why they made that distinction.
But then you can't catalog them the way that you can, or maybe you can if you're really thorough, but you really can't automatically catalog them the way that you can, or the way that Google Photos can. So there's still some drawbacks. I mean, yes, you have the storage, but still drawbacks.
Oh man, the other hack I saw people discussing was uploading their videos to YouTube and keeping it unlisted. Which,
that's fine. That's a great way to do it. I'm all for that. You'd get a better player experience than Google Photos offers.
Yeah, but they're going to shut that down eventually if people keep doing that.
That also sounds exhausting.
Absolutely exhausting. Yeah,
the whole thing about Google Photos is it's simple. It makes every part of the photo process simple.
I don't know.
I think realistically, anything's just not worth it.
Yeah.
Like the only thing that might be worth it is, you know, switching to Amazon, because they also do unlimited. But that has a cap on video storage.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I can't really speak to how good their app is, but I don't recall it having the search functionality or anything like that Google Photos has.
No, and like the quality of Amazon apps, even the Kindle app is, it all feels like the web app is. It's really, they still haven't gotten the native feel down. So that's a bit baffling if you're considering switching to Amazon. But yeah, video, as you pointed out there, that's the big thing for Google, I'm sure. So many people uploading high quality videos. Maybe if they were, basically, is there a way that Google could have done this where they kept free photo uploads, but they introduced just a cap on video?
I mean, there's so many good video compression algorithms these days. Like, they could re-encode things to, I don't know, like H.265 or whatever. I don't, can't keep it straight, but they could re-encode everything and make it smaller. So it's not like it's that big of a difference. But yeah, that would be a way.
Here's my question. Would people have freaked out as much as if Google still offered unlimited, but just as a paid tier? Like just
Oh,
unlimited
that's
photo
interesting.
storage. Okay, so like let's say you're paying $10 for the 2 TB Google One plan, but photos, like videos maybe, but photos don't count towards the 2 TB.
As long
I
as they're in
think,
high quality instead of original.
I mean, they could, I could. They could probably
That
get
could
away
work.
saying original, but either way, it would, you know, it would help pay for it.
It
So.
would. It would. But I wonder if even that's too much for Google to handle in terms of scaling for the future.
Yeah, I mean it, because it is a what is it? It's there's over 1 billion people using Google Photos.
I
You
think the
know
number is
to.
4 billion photos backed up, which is insane.
Yeah, I mean, just think if every user uses a gig of data, that's an insane amount of data, and most people are using 10 times that easily.
Yeah, especially in the modern era. So yeah, there's
To
yes, Kyle.
I was gonna say, to add another angle to that, though, at the very least, Google does seem to be trying to offer more new features rather than just taking features away. Like they're adding the new photo editor features, like the color pop that doesn't need depth information. Like they're trying at least to not just take away, but also add. And I can appreciate that to an extent. And that move makes a whole lot more sense now with this in perspective.
It's interesting how Google One, people, well, as an offshoot, it started as Drive, people buying more Drive storage. But if you see Google One as being catered exclusively to improving the Google Photos experience moving forward, that's an interesting way for Google One to be positioned.
And you get bonuses like Drive storage and a VPN.
Ooh. Yeah, the VPN is fun. It's useful for most people in terms of bringing, like, introducing the idea of a VPN to so many people. And I don't know, I think people will be more likely to use it. So I guess the second big angle with Google Photos is what they're doing with the Pixel line. When they announced all of this yesterday, they said that existing Pixels would continue their promised storage. Which, in the case of the Pixel 4a, 4a 5G 5, and going back two generations, the 4 and the 3a, is the ability to keep using unlimited backup at that high quality that we started at the top talking about. That's going to remain for existing users. It's unlimited for going onwards. So I guess that is really it paints the Pixel 5 and this existing generation in a new light in terms of the value add.
Yeah, it's honest, it makes them a lot more compelling right now. But it's almost just a shame that, you know, this is happening on the Pixel's like really off year.
I
Because
mean,
okay, off
by
year as
comparison to the Pixel 4, I don't think this is
let
an off
let me
year.
rephrase. Off year as in it's a very confusing, messy lineup. There's no XL variants, there's, you know, it's a messy lineup, which is why I call it an off year.
It
Right,
is at least
but
the most accessible, though, which I can certainly
yes.
appreciate. And I think other people will appreciate too.
Yeah, but it I would have really liked Google to say, hey, we're gonna keep doing this on Pixels.
Yeah.
because realistically, they could handle that.
Yeah, especially like, since people are paying for a phone,
or even just on the flagship one. Like maybe not put it on the 5A, but put it on the 6. That'd be nice. Yeah.
It would make sense. It's a shame that they're not doing it, which they obviously confirmed as well. It would have made sense, and it would have sold phones because no one else was offering that. No one else will or can offer that, really.
So yeah, there was like in the past 24 hours, everybody was talking about the idea of how this becomes a Pixel exclusive, but I think Google actively tried to tamp down that discussion to guide people's speculation like in real time, because they're not doing that, and it's very interesting that they're not able to, even after you pay again, if you're paying for just the flagship phone, $799, if you go back to last year's pricing for a proper flagship, it's very interesting that the costs, they still can't eat the cost of offering free unlimited backups.
I think they can. I think they're doing it as like an imaging thing. Because
you have this theory.
I think a lot of people would get kind of angry that Google would be keeping it just on their Pixels. Like some people would frame it as, oh, Google's killing unlimited storage just to sell more Pixels or something like that. At the same time, it also kind of speaks to maybe that's not good. Maybe it's, you know, something not good in the Pixel's future. I don't know. Who's to say?
Yeah, I could kind of see that as being like somebody could point to that as like an anti-competitive practice or something, some mm-hmm. garbage. But I mean, maybe it's true. I don't know how the law necessarily works on that. I'm not a lawyer, but maybe like I could see that as being argued as anti-competitive.
Yeah.
Theoretically. Yeah,
but theoretically. Well, but I mean, the phone is called the Pixel.
Yeah, I could see that being argued, but at the same time, then you'd have to say, oh, then why is Apple giving free TV subscriptions to every iPhone and iPad user? So it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, well, and plus the original Pixel still has full unlimited original quality forever and ever and ever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, nobody ever said anything about that.
That makes me want to get out that Pixel and start using it aggressively again to take pictures. Because, well, I used to take videos.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
would be just real. Stick it to them.
Record in like full in 4K 24/7. Just start a, just like every hour, it just stops recording and starts a new one. Yeah.
Yeah. This feels like, I don't know, some kind of like promotion where they, like a fast food promotion where they offer you something for life and then they ended up taking it away. I feel like there's a famous example of the terms changing and people getting like a big payoff or something like that.
I kind of remember that happening recently too. I just can't think of who it was.
Yeah, I feel like that feels familiar too.
Yeah, but
I wish I could remember. Oh, well.
So yeah, none of this is happening until June 1st. So there's and in the lead up to that, Google is building some tools to help you manage your storage. Like right now, there's I think it's photos.google.com/storage, where you can see an estimate of how long it'll take you to fill up based on your backup patterns and that. And another thing will be a tool to just delete back like blurry images and large video files. That's coming before this June announcement. But in general, I wonder if like this announcement causes Google to like ramp up features to increase the value, because this is like an artificial form of self-competition to like make sure people keep using it.
But maybe we will see a continued drive for Google One exclusive features in the app, that because those not being tied to Pixels would would presumably still apply to like iPhone. Like if you have a Google One subscription and you have an iPhone, you can do exclusive editing features, perhaps.
They need to build it up. Google Photos is, again, it's like one of the most popular friendly products, and maybe this will get people to start paying, and maybe this leads to a general shift in how services on the internet are paid for, are provided, are financially backed. So that could be an interesting model going forward.
I will say it's definitely changed the value proposition of Google One, which used to be the biggest reason that one could, or one of the big reasons that we could point to for being a reason to get Google One, was because they offered support, actual human support. We were like, Google One is for when you need support from Google. Now it's Google One is for Google Photos and Drive, but Google Photos.
If Google One didn't already exist, there's definitely a world where this is like Google Photos Plus or something like, extra.
Please no.
It's too many pluses, too many added services. Google is probably smarter. They're better off doing this as making Google One as something for all their services.
I just wish Google One was more like Apple One.
Yeah, the YouTube thing.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube, the biggest thing is Stadia. YouTube.
YouTube and Stadia, throw that in. Yeah. Add $20 to it. I don't care. I'll pay it.
Yeah. I think that's more definitely more likely to happen with YouTube and Stadia by themselves before everything else gets integrated.
I mean, that's one way to get Stadia on the map.
Yeah.
Like, my ideal subscription would be YouTube Premium, YouTube TV, and Stadia in one bundle. That would be awesome.
YouTube Premium and YouTube TV, that, I feel like that's never, ever going to happen.
I don't understand why, though.
Because it's only for one country. It's only for the US, maybe Canada.
They've had countless things that have only been for the US.
That's true.
Like, why not? For the people who can use YouTube TV, either just, you know, add $5 for YouTube Premium or include it. You know, we are getting robbed out of our minds lately.
I agree, yeah. If YouTube TV had, like, even if it just included music, I'd probably subscribe just to and drop cable. Just get TV and music. Not necessarily premium, but just music.
YouTube music without premium would suck.
I mean, it's still ad-free. It's just not full YouTube ad-free. It's just music ad-free.
You still get background play, right?
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another consideration might be the fact that if they did YouTube TV and YouTube Premium, wouldn't people expect YouTube TV to have no ads?
They're unrelated enough.
I think the distinction is clear enough.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's the worst. There are too many ads on YouTube TV, which means there are too many ads on regular television. But yeah, it's an interesting.
It should have never had the name YouTube TV. That's my take. It doesn't have anything to do with YouTube. There's no you in the YouTube TV. There's no you.
It still connects to regular YouTube though.
Yeah, but like that integration is barely there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really care. I just wish that they had some bundle for the two that just made YouTube TV a little easier to swallow.
Yeah, that's very true. Maybe when they said they were looking into YouTube TV, was looking into a la carte pricing options, but I don't know.
I think they're looking into it, but I don't see how they're gonna ever get away with it. The whole reason that all these channels keep leaving is because, the whole reason the prices keep going up is because these networks are forced to be offered as one big package. That's the whole reason the prices keep going up. It's not because they're adding channels. It's because these networks require them to be, they can't be a la carte.
Yeah.
Because they want to be a part of the entire setup.
Yeah, not those channels would simply die off in terms of the viewership.
So which it is would be tricky. A good thing.
It would be a good thing. There's too many, too much content out there. Really, it's just too much content, and consolidation is always a nice thing.
And there's too much free content that's better than what's being played on the on those failing networks. You know?
No kidding.
No kidding. Absolutely. The agree. Hard agree. So yeah, YouTube. Yeah. We started back at the beginning this podcast. So yeah, I think we're calling this week's podcast there. It's a bit of a shorter one, but we only had two and a half topics this week. Until next week, I want to tell everybody that they can listen on Google Podcasts, on Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and of course on 9to5google.com. The recordings, which we're being better about uploading very quickly, should be available tomorrow morning on the podcast app of your choice and RSS feeds, etc., etc. And thank you to Ben and Kyle for joining me as always, and see you all next week.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.